Blog Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, February 22nd, 2017, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy, wonderful Wednesday, everybody. And what a great day it is for life, work, and business, huh? You're up and at it if you're listening to me. And what a great attitude that is. Get up, get at it, get it done. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're always coming out of the gates like a racehorse, but it does mean that you put one foot in front of the other to get yourself going in the right direction, fast or slow. And you know what? You can come up with some of your best ideas not even moving from your seat, just by sitting down and with a piece of paper and writing down ideas and what your next steps are going to be and letting your mind take you on a journey through the day. Doesn't that sound like fun? I know it does. Yes, there are many ways to move and make it happen, to profit and to win. To each his own special set of skills and abilities, I say, put it to work. My guest today knows winning from every angle, and she is going to share some of those powerful tools with us. And you know what? One of them in particular is kindness. Doesn't that just sound wonderful? She has an awesome new book released, The Profit of Kindness, How to Influence Others, Establish Trust, and Build Lasting Business Relationships. She is international speaker and four times best-selling, did you hear me? Four times best-selling author, Jill Lublin. You may have seen her on the national media, on CBS, NBC, ABC, and many others as the highly regarded go-to publicity expert. So I'm happy, and I really do mean it when I say what a great honor it is to have her on Foxology today. Thank you so much, Jill, and welcome.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
Well, I am truly excited, and wow, I'm just thrilled. So, again, thank you. You've got such a stellar history, and, you know, I kept asking myself, how do I condense what I really want the audience to know into 20 minutes? But we're going to make sure we give them some of your best nuggets as we move forward. Why don't you tell us before I start the line of questioning, how did you get into this business? You have become a sought after to expert for so many reasons. How did all of this get started?
Thank you. You know, I really started in the area of publicity, and I actually ran a public relations agency for many years, and then I got tapped on the shoulder by an amazing man, J. Conrad Levinson, who wrote and is the grandfather of guerrilla marketing that many of you might have heard of. And guerrilla marketing has sold over 1 million books. They have 24 guerrilla books, and he said, will you write guerrilla publicity? And because that's my expertise. And guerrilla publicity did very well. I mean, I'm an expert in publicity, so I do walk my talk and practice what I preach. And then my publisher asked me what every author wants to hear, and that is, what's your next book? And my next book became Networking Magic. And then McGraw-Hill picked up Get Noticed, Get Referrals. And, you know, one day I looked at all this, and I said, this is all about influence. And I've been teaching publicity courses, and I do a lot of corporate training and speaking all over the world. And really, my main impetus is to be a messenger of messengers. I mean, that really makes me happy, makes me joyful. And the truth is, I've always approached business kindly, and I didn't really realize it was a distinction until one day I was being introduced on stage. I was actually on Tony Robbins' stage, and that was really amazing. And the introducer there said, you know, my wonderful bio and read what he was supposed to read, and then he also knew me personally. He said, and she's got one of the biggest hearts I know. Now, I have to tell you, I didn't realize in that moment that that was a distinction, that like most people didn't go around being nice in business. And for me, I think what happened with this new book was realizing that now more than ever, we need kindness, and that businesses will do well by being more kind. And so that's really the main impetus. And, of course, the timing couldn't have been better with everything that's going on in our society today. But I will tell you, just because I think this is a sweet part of the story, my 83-year-old friend, you know, she's been my friend for 20 years, and I'm helping her with some of the issues of aging. And one of the days I just took her out to lunch for fun, and she said, you know, you're so kind, and I thank you so much. And I want you to know, wouldn't it be nice if everyone else were more kind? Because she and I have talked about this, how kindness has gone downhill and, you know, people are just a little more mean than they've ever been before. And then she said, wouldn't it be nice if we had a new currency, the currency of kindness? And I went, oh, my gosh, that's it. So that became the book, The Prophet of Kindness. And, you know, you just never know when someone's going to say something that sparks you.
That's true. And I would imagine that isn't something that the average corporate person is going to take into the business meeting as a, you know, first thing on my mind. Make sure I'm kind when I walk in there. I would like for you to share with us some of the myth busters. Because, you know, it's, you know, kind of, there's all these cliches, you know, keep your cards under the table and, you know, don't tell everybody everything. And, you know, there's so many of those that I think when you go in, you're so full of caution and you're so guarded and you're even maybe some degree of fear. And I'm thinking that happens to you, you know, at higher levels as well, because you're too afraid of losing, and I'm talking about losing the deal or losing ground or leverage or whatever the case may be. But what are some of your myth busters for using the skill set that you're talking about, the kindness factor in going in?
Well, you know, and everyone's always concerned about ROI, return on investment. And in Prophet of Kindness, what we explore is ROK, return on kindness. And I actually have defined 7 key ways to create more kindness. We call them our rocks, ROK, return on kindness. And they are not actually myths. They are real things that one can do. And they include everything from flexibility to patience. Oh, boy, when I was writing the chapter on patience, for Prophet of Kindness, everything came up to test my patience. It was hysterical. There are things like gratitude and generosity and compassion. And these all work in companies. The truth is, what I've noticed in consulting with companies on kindness is that teams that are more flexible, bosses that are more flexible, how about at home if you're more flexible, more patient, you know, you allow generosity to rule the day, that at times you're not reactive. You know, it's so easy to send a quick email or a text responding to things. And I just think it's really important that we slow it down. You know, yesterday something happened with my publisher on one of our bestseller campaigns. And, you know, I just didn't respond because sometimes not responding is better. And I think that's important. And I also think it's important to have appropriate responses. Like I remember a cruise I was on, and this woman was yelling at the poor woman across the desk. I don't know what happened. Clearly she was upset about the spa treatment she'd gotten, and I was trying not to tune in too much. But what the other woman behind the desk did, which I thought was excellent, because people say, well, you know, if you're kind, are you weak? Well, this woman was very kind in her response to the screaming, upset client. She said, you know, I really get that you're upset, and I really hear you, and I really want to make this better, but I need you to do 2 things. Number 1, I need you to lower your voice, And number two, please don't talk to me that way. I'm really trying to help you. I mean, I thought that was outstanding, you know, and that we have to look at the ways we react and respond. You know, it's easy to kind of let loose and let it go sometimes. And, you know, I think we've all been guilty of that. And then what I realize is how much better we all get treated when we are nicer and kinder.
Absolutely. Well, I'm with you 1,000%, but I always, you know, want to play it on the other side because I think it helps people get it. Some people hearing what you're saying think it's fluffy. I don't, because I know it absolutely works. But I want you to talk to those people who may not quite get the whole idea of that type of self-respect that the representative that you just described, company regard, the level of emotional intelligence that it takes to deal with somebody that's screaming at you for something that's not even your fault. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the key things you say to the individuals, and you know you're doing this all the time. You're talking to a huge majority who have not embraced this idea because of the fast-paced work environments we are in now, because it doesn't seem to lend itself to take time to be compassionate or caring in the mix of all of that. And I know you must get some type of questions and rebuttal, but we know, in fact, that it does work. And you, maybe you've already said the key thing. Reel yourself back in, slow it down a little bit, be patient, and then do some thinking. How would you put it out there?
Well, a couple things. One is non-reaction. And, you know, we tend to all operate off knee-jerk reactions. Well, they said something to me, and I have to say something back. Well,
mm-hmm.
actually, no, you
don't. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes no response is the right response. I have found particularly, somebody once taught me that, actually a spiritual teacher of mine, that we don't always have to respond, and for some reason we feel we do. Well, no, actually we don't. And so, you know, I mean, it's shocking because especially if you're a kind person, if you're a person who's committed to action, you will tend to want to respond and react, and, you know, people who are action-oriented tend to do that. But guess what? What I've noticed in the no response is that, number one, it's fine. Like, words that might have been said won't be said, and that's probably a good thing, that we have time to think about our reactions and to word them carefully. And I think that's important, that we have moments of reflection, and that's key. So one of the things I really propose is that we don't respond immediately, and that you let things simmer. I mean, if you can respond quickly and it's appropriate, great, and then you move on. But if it's something that's triggering you, something that's an upset, somebody that's screaming at you about something, that's appropriate at times to just step back and not respond. And let me just say, then on the other hand, there are moments that it will be key to respond and react quickly. But sometimes that can just be a, let me get back to you. I hear that that's an upset. Let me get back to you. You know, this wonderful client of mine, she manages 3 massage envies, and she has 97 employees. And, you know, she said, these are 97 people with distinct needs and, you know, distinct styles, and she has to manage them. And she has a manager in each store, and there was a particular client who was very upset with a policy change that she didn't get communicated with somehow appropriately. So she was very upset with the manager of the store, threatening basically to withdraw her management and her membership. And so this woman called her. She took, you know, 10 minutes and called her up and said, you know, I really hear that you're upset. You know, tell me what it is. Let me understand. And guess what? That woman is a loyal customer now, and she said to her, she said, thank you so much for taking the time to really hear me, to make the call, because she didn't even know her. I mean, this woman owns the store, but she never is in the store, and to, you know, listen to what I had to say. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. That makes a difference, listening and respecting, and I think respect is the new kindness.
I agree with you. I think of an experience I had just a few weeks ago in a major department store, and you know they run these big deals for weekend discounts. You know, they're in the paper or online or in your phone or something, get extra 15-25% off. And so I knew about that, but I got to the counter with some items, and I asked the gentleman while he was ringing, I said, excuse me, shouldn't I be getting an additional 25% off of these items? He said, well, we're really not supposed to tell people that they're eligible for that. I said, well, just an FYI, I think that it really would have made me feel like you cared about me making my purchase today, and it would have made me very happy walking away, and I probably would have told a ton of friends, and probably would be back more often. Think big picture, because that was a bad move to ignore that I could have had that I could have that discount. You know, I think that it's I know, and that really happened. But I agree that you know, this works. So let's boil it down to even some more personal business. And we're talking about the profit of kindness, but I know you're not just talking about the kind of feel good, the feel goods that it gives you. This shakes out to be dollars. This shakes out to be a real return on in investment in business. Tell people how that can shake out to perhaps something like what I just said, bring more customers in or whatever. What is it that you share with people to let them know how critical it is to their bottom line?
Well, you know, in Profit of Kindness, we did research, and here's what's interesting. Consistently, here's that word, consistently, companies who practice kindness have it part of their mission, part of their marketing campaigns. By the way, if you've noticed, there's a lot of companies marketing kindness now. Honda did a huge campaign on kindness. Obviously, kindness works. Believe me, major corporations would not be putting money behind major advertising campaigns if kindness was not hitting a chord in the marketplace. But what we discovered within the Profit of Kindness was that not only is your bottom line better and bigger, but your employees are happier, your customers are happier, your team members, you know, wherever they may be, tend to do better, work better. As a person, when you're kind, just in business and in life, and by the way, there's not often a lot of separation there, you tend to be healthier, you definitely are happier, you tend to be wealthier, and of course that doesn't, you know, there are people in the world that we view as kind, such as the Dalai Lama, who says kindness is his religion. Imagine if we all had a religion called kindness. So, you know, I don't know that the Dalai Lama cares about being wealthy. Mother Teresa, you know, Gandhi, if you look at incredible people in our cult, in our history who are legends of kindness, they weren't always wealthy, but boy, did they have a big impact. And they certainly, I'm sure, lived their mission, which is important. So as a company living your mission, and I've looked at some company missions, I'm getting brought into companies where kindness is in their mission statement, in their annual reports. To me, that's so wonderful when we're mixing financial viability with kindness. I'll tell you something.
I was just too.
Isn't that wonderful? I was just at a conference called Wisdom 2.0, which brings together major companies with a topic of mindfulness, which many companies are investing heavily in now. I met a gentleman from Ford Motor Company talking about kindness. I met somebody from Airbnb talking about kindness. And in fact, in Profit of Kindness, we talk about the Hyatt, the Ritz-Carlton, where, you know, they absolutely grant their managers incredible latitude to give kindness to their customers. You know, Kleenex campaign is featured in Profit of Kindness because they were giving away Kleenex to your friends and family. McDonald's did a Pay It With Lovin' campaign where they allowed hugs to be the currency. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's major companies, all we've heard of, all brands we've heard of, knowing that kindness works in the marketplace.
And I agree with you that it's needed more than ever right now. That's for sure. Jill, with all of the opportunities there are for businesses to have so many platforms to use to create opportunities like you're talking about, it's surprising. It's surprising to me that in order to really reach everybody that you want to reach, that it seems to be even more challenging than ever before. What do you say as an expert is the reason for that, with there being so many new and wonderful opportunities for a business to showcase itself?
In terms of, which piece? Please repeat the piece of the question.
It probably sounded like two or three questions. I know I do that sometimes. But there are a lot of opportunities. There are a lot of opportunities to showcase your business. And maybe the picking and choosing is it. I'm not sure. I'm asking you to tell us. But it seems like it's even more challenging, and I guess in my thinking, it should be less challenging with all of the opportunities. What is it that you tell your clients about it?
First of all, obviously marketing and business, and I'm an expert in promotion and publicity. I think it's always key to stand out and do things that help your business stand out. Obviously, publicity is one of them. Kindness is another. So, even the things I was telling you about, those are companies who are showing us that kindness campaigns are things that company is investing in. And, I would take a look at your own company. Are you committed to kindness? Are you committed to showing acts? So, for instance, I teach a publicity course. And my live events, I also teach it as a live Zoom webinar, but at my live events, I have a scholarship person and or organization there every single time. I am absolutely committed to that. That's one of my give backs and important aspects. Now, I have to tell you, about 6 months ago, I realized, I do this course as a live Zoom webinar. I need a scholarship person on there too. And, it's just something that had kind of skipped my consciousness somehow, but it's still the same class, right? And so that was an area that I made an impact in and did something, about. I just encourage you to practice what I call conscious acts of kindness. People talk about random acts of kindness. Let's do conscious acts of kindness. That's what's really going to make a big difference.
I think that's absolutely beautiful. Instead of thinking about, I can put it out there, here, there, and everywhere, go with that wonderful ethic. I think that's absolutely beautiful. Well, Jill, I know that you have other books. We have about 5 minutes. And if you would like to, why don't you touch on the content of those and wrap it up with telling everybody where they can get your more information about you and get your books. I know you're speaking and there's a schedule of your seminars and all of that. So tell us a little bit about your other books, where they can get it, and we'll go ahead and wrap from there.
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, for Profit of Kindness, please go to profitofkindness.com. That's P-R-O-F-I-T, profitofkindness.com. And that will direct you to all the places you love to buy books. So go check that out. And then I'd love to support you anyway. I am an expert in publicity. I actually wrote the book Guerrilla Publicity. And I do teach publicity courses as live Zoom webinars, so you can take it from the comfort of your home. And I do speak and train all over the world. Go check out JillLublin.com. And then also, if I can help you in any way through your publicity, I also help people get book deals and all kinds of other wonderful things. And if I can support you with speaking and training, please email me to support@JillLublin.com. Lots of L's in there, J-I-L-L-L-U-B-L-I-N. L-I-N as in Nancy, support@jilllublin.com. And, you know, most importantly, I really want you to know that your message matters. And it's important to keep it out there and keep it kind.
Absolutely. Jill, you also have a show, don't you, that people can watch?
Yes, thank you. It's called Messages of Hope. And it's a TV show. You could go to jilllublin.com and actually see wonderful parts of that. So please go check that out and keep the hope and kindness going.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, there is one other question I would like to ask you because I just like the word, and that's magic. And I know one of your book titles is Networking Magic. And since we have about another minute and a half or two that you can answer this question, I'm always curious when somebody puts magic in their title because I'm wondering what that magic is. Can you tell us in your book, Networking Magic? Where's the magic? What is it?
Oh, by the way, I've got four cats, his name is Magic. I just want you to know that.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah. And as far as the magic in Networking Magic, one of my books, what I did was I laid out some very simple tactics for how to network. And the truth about networking effectively is that it does create magic in your life. Magical revenue, magical connections, magical people who then give you other referrals. To me, that's magical. And so I really wanted to lay that out for people in a fun, you know, Networking Magic has rabbits on the cover and a hat, and it's just so cute. And my publisher picked that. I just love it. And why I say that is because magic in your life gets created by great networking, by great referrals, by great publicity, and by being kind.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. It does feel like magic. There are some key elements, but once you put those to work, boy, it does produce like abracadabra. You're absolutely right. Jill, thank you so much for being my special guest today. It's just been, as I said, an honor, and I just love your energy. Look forward to how everything will be rolling out with you and this new book, and I'll be looking for you on TV and all of that. Thanks a million for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
All righty. Enjoy your day and God bless. I've been talking with the four-time best-selling international speaker and author, Jill Lublin. What a great interview that was. I hope you enjoyed it as well. I know she left some real gold nuggets for all of us to appreciate and put to work in whatever it is we're trying to do in life, work and business. I want to thank you for joining me, listening in, and I hope you'll tell your friends and family on social media about Foxology today and the opportunities that are here to be empowered, educated, enlightened on a variety of topics and subjects and a wide array of guests that come on this show. I am so pleased to offer this information. It's just what I do, and I love it. I'm going to wish you a wonderful day, and I'm going to look forward to you tuning in for the next show and talking to you again next time. In the meanwhile, be good, be blessed, be awesome.